As we think about following Jesus, as we think about serving Him, he issued that call that we looked at for several months when we looked at the series Follow Me, where we learned, and hopefully everyone in here knows this, but I'm going to repeat it for the rest of my life, that following Jesus is a choice that each person has to make. Following Jesus is something that you're not born into because of your family, because of your friends. It's a choice that you make. And I love the invitation that Jesus gave those first followers, that invitation that is for each one of us today, where He says, follow Me. Make the choice to follow Me. And then He gives us this great, great promise that He says, if you choose to follow Me, then I will make you. What a great promise that when you choose to actively walk with Jesus, to live in a relationship with Jesus, to read the Scripture, study the Scripture, obey the Scripture, walking with Jesus, that He promises that He will make you. He will make you into the person that He desires for you to be. And so we see this, and we're going to be looking over the next several weeks at Jesus' parables and how in the parables He makes me. As He teaches me, He's making me into that person that He wants me to be, making me into that follower that He wants me to be. Before we read this Scripture today, I'm thinking about how we serve Jesus, how we are obedient to Him. And I wanted to do just a little bit of a survey this morning. I want to see how many of you actually, now only if you actually do this, okay? Raise your hand. How many of you actually read the church newsletter? All right, how many of you actually read the church newsletter this week? How many of you actually had somebody point something out to you from the church newsletter this week? A few of you. Well, I just want to give you a little insight into my background. When I was a child, I was not a good student. I did not like school. And so my parents hired a tutor for me. But that tutoring was like torture. And so sometimes when I write about tutoring in the newsletter, I may actually use the word torturing by accident. So those of you who are interested in working at A.C. Cochran, and I could call some names of people who said, if we're torturing kids, I'll be there. But I'm not going to call any names. Lauren Ganey. But Olivia Ganey. But seriously, if you would like to, and now I got to make sure I say this right. If you would like to help tutor children in reading, we would love to have you be a part of that. Now, to the children, it may feel like torture, but we're there for the purpose of tutoring. And if you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go back and read your newsletter very, very carefully, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And you'll see that maybe I should not be helping children with reading or writing. Certainly not proofreading. What you've written. But as we think about the words, I just had to get that out of the way so then I could concentrate on the message. So forgive me for using your time. But as we look at the parables of Jesus, I want to look today at two parables. They're very, very short. They're in Matthew 13. But it's the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl of great value. And I want to look at these, at what Jesus used in these parables, and then look at some of the great kingdom principles that we can learn that will help us to allow Jesus to make us. You know, as Jesus teaches us through the parables, through His other words, as we learn, as we're obedient, as we get it, what He's saying, that makes us. That's part of that make me. And you'll see from the slide that Betsy put together, this growth is a process. Making me is a process. It starts from planting the seed. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago in scattering the seed. But just like a plant, has stages of growth, of coming to maturity. We're the same way in our spiritual development, that we start out small and young and tender, and then we grow stronger and stronger as we're walking with Jesus. And that's one of the reasons Lee has put together the Sunday night studies for adults, so that we can help you to grow and allow and watch as Jesus makes you into the follower that he wants you to be. But Jesus is teaching us some very important kingdom principles in these two parables. So in verse 44 of Matthew 13, we see the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And then the next parable, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who, in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, as we look at these parables, especially the first one, you know, Jesus is telling us what the kingdom of heaven is like. And so that should lead you to the question, well, what is the kingdom of heaven? You know, I don't want to assume that any of us really knows what it is. Some of you, maybe your first time ever hearing that phrase, the kingdom of heaven. But the kingdom of heaven is the realm over which Jesus Christ is the undisputed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That to belong to the kingdom means that you have chosen to follow Jesus Christ and to yield yourself to his authority. Now, that sounds confusing, to yield yourself to his authority. What that means is you voluntarily place yourself under the authority of Jesus, and you study the scripture and you live your life in the way that the Bible teaches that we're supposed to live our life. You give up what you may want for what Jesus says is best. You yield yourself to him. You yield yourself to his authority. Entry into the kingdom is free. You cannot buy your way into the kingdom of heaven. As we'll see later in the message, Jesus paid the entry fee into heaven for all of those who believe in him. And genuine faith never fails to appreciate the true cost of salvation. What your salvation and my salvation truly cost. But as we look at this, Jesus urges us to consider the cost of the kingdom to those who enter the kingdom. It doesn't cost, it's free, but it is costly. And we're going to look at that and see. In verse 44, in this first parable of the hidden treasure, hiding a treasure in a field back in Jesus' day was really one of the most secure ways to protect your wealth and your belongings. I mean, the bank, there weren't banks like we have now, and the FDIC that insured whatever money you had in the bank. Really, the best way to protect it, especially in times of war where there was a lot of looting and people plundering through houses, was to was to bury it where you knew where it was. Now, I've never done that, but maybe some of y'all have. But it's not as popular today as it was. It's probably not popular at all. But in Jesus' day, it's something that would have been very, very common for people to bury their valuables in a field. I can remember as a child, my grandfather told the story of one of our relatives had buried a jar of coins somewhere on the property. And I can remember as a kid, my cousins and I would go out, and man, we would just be looking all over. I even one Christmas got a metal detector so I could go out and try to find this buried treasure that supposedly existed. But we never found it. But we searched for it. But that was evidently even, for my grandfather's relatives, it was not uncommon to bury something of value so that only you knew where it was. Problem is that if you died or you sold the property and forgot about it, the treasure remained hidden. And that's the case here. This person was probably hired to work in this field. They could have been walking across the field. Whatever happened, they find this treasure. And it says that they get very excited. Now, it says that he covered it back up. One of the things at first you may go, well, this seems a little, underhanded. But by Jewish law and Jewish standards, they were in no obligation to tell the owner that they found the treasure on the property. Because see, if it was the owner's treasure, when the guy went to buy the field, the owner would have simply gone and dug it up and taken it and put it somewhere else. But this was a treasure that had been forgotten about. And so when this person finds it, they see the great value of it, and they go and they sell everything they have in order to buy this field. Now, you know from reading this, too, that this wasn't a person that didn't have principle. I mean, if he had wanted to, if he'd been a crooked person, he would have just dug it up and taken it, right? But it says that he buried it back, and he went and sold everything he had so that he could go and buy this field that contained this great treasure in it. And as we look, and we're going to go through some of the kingdom principles, we'll see that what this great value is that this man has found. It says that he was so overjoyed that he was willing to surrender everything to obtain this field. And then when we go to verse 45 and 46, we see kind of the same story, but a different scenario where you have a merchant. He was probably a wholesaler, that he would go out and he searched for these pearls that he could buy and invest in and then in turn sell them later. Now, in Jesus' day, pearls were probably equivalent in value to what of diamonds that we put on diamonds today. I mean, they were very, very valuable. When you bought them, they would increase in value. And so you have this merchant that he's out actively searching for this thing of great value. And so as we look at this, we see several principles from the kingdom. The first man sold everything and he bought one field. The second man sold everything and he bought one pearl. So what do we learn about the kingdom from here? First, we learn the kingdom is priceless in value. The treasure of the kingdom of God, it includes things that we can't buy, that we can only receive as a gift from Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven includes treasures like salvation, forgiveness, love, joy, peace, virtue, goodness, glory, eternal life in heaven, the presence of God. It includes Jesus Christ himself. And these are not things that we can purchase. And we're going to see that in just a moment. These things were purchased for us through Jesus Christ. And what we do in response to what Jesus is offering us for free is we don't offer up ourselves as some type of payment where we're trying to get this on our own merit or to buy it from him. We do this in response to the great price that he paid for your salvation and my salvation, and for the salvation of anyone who would believe in him. We also see that the kingdom is not superficially visible. It's not something that's easy for people to see. As you look at these two parables, one man is going across the field, or he's working in the field, and he stumbles upon this treasure that's beginning to show. The other man, he's actively searching for a treasure. It's not something that was easily seen by the casual observer. And what we understand about spiritual realities is that they're not naturally perceived, and therefore they're not appreciated by those who are not followers of Jesus. As you read the scriptures, you learn spiritual principles. These are things that are not easily understood. They're only revealed to those who are followers of Jesus Christ. And that's this, one of the kingdom principles that we learn is that the carnal person, the person who is lost, the person who is not a follower of Jesus, they do not see these principles the way that you do, the way that I do. They cannot be understood by a person who is not a follower of Jesus. You know, when you think about people who are lost, if you try to witness to them, and you may have had this happen to you, I've had it happen to me, where somebody just does not understand, they cannot understand why you would give up your life to follow Jesus Christ. They just can't see it, they can't get it, and it's because they can't perceive the things of spiritual value. sinners are not naturally inclined to see God. So these spiritual kingdom truths, they're not evident to everybody who's out there. They're things that are revealed to you and to me as we walk with Jesus, as we let Him make us. We also see from this that the kingdom is personally received. As we look at these two parables, they both include one person receiving the thing of great value. See, I mentioned this earlier, that you're not automatically a part of God's kingdom. This is an individual thing that you do. This is an individual decision that you must make to choose if you want to be a part of God's kingdom. Baptism, church membership, attending church, none of these things make you a part of God's kingdom. And I think that is one of the great lies that we have been told in life, is that if you just go to church, you'll be all right with God. If you get baptized, you'll be all right with God. If you're a good person, you'll be all right with God. And see, that's a lie. There's only one way to be okay with God, and that's through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing else will gain you entrance into the kingdom of heaven other than Jesus Christ. He paid the price for you and for me. And you're not a part of God's kingdom until you're brought into it by choosing to have this relationship with Jesus and submitting your life to His authority. Now, this word submit, we talk about it a lot here on Sunday morning. In a lot of our culture, submission is kind of a bad word. We don't like it. But submission, to submit to Jesus, is to voluntarily, you make the choice to place yourself under the authority and the rule of Jesus Christ, to live your life by what He says, not by what you necessarily believe or want to do. It's making yourself under His authority. You make that choice. I just want to be crystal clear with that this is an individual thing. This is an individual decision that you have to make. You have to obtain this treasure yourself, like the two people in the parable. We also see in these parables that the kingdom is the true source of real joy. It says in the first one, then in verse 44, then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Joy is something that comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, there's a difference in happiness and joy, isn't there? Yes, that'd be a yes. That was a tough question. There is. I heard somebody say years ago, happiness depends on what happens. You know, if something good happens, then I feel good. If something bad happens, then I feel bad. Joy is different than happiness. Joy is that source of contentment, that source of peace, that source of assurance that only Jesus Christ can give to His followers. And we have to understand that. The kingdom is the true source of joy, of real lasting joy. And the next thing we learn from this is that not everyone comes into the kingdom by the same approach. Not everyone comes into the kingdom by the same approach. Now let me explain what I mean from this. One man in the first parable, he was going about his day. He was going about his business. He was working in the field. And all of a sudden he stumbles upon this great treasure. And as we look at this, we see that he was not looking for it. He came across it. And I think about the different illustrations we have of people in the Scripture who weren't looking for Jesus, but came upon Jesus. You think about the Apostle Paul when he was Saul, they called him Saul before his salvation. I mean, he was persecuting the church. He was trying to destroy the name of Jesus. And then as he's on the road to Damascus to do more damage to the church, to do more damage to the name of Jesus, that's when he found Jesus, because Jesus appeared to him and called him. And so Paul was not looking for Jesus, but Jesus found him. And then the other man, as we're looking at the other parable, he was searching for the great pearl. So the first guy wasn't really looking for a treasure. He just found it. The next guy, he is searching for this great treasure. And I think about another example from the Scripture when Philip was going along the road and the Ethiopian eunuch comes up and he's in a chariot and Philip can hear him reading the Scripture. And he goes up to him and says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he says, "No." And Philip explains to him about Jesus Christ. So this man was looking for spiritual truth. He wanted to understand spiritual truth. And then Jesus found him. And so we see that not everybody enters the kingdom in the same way. Not everybody's looking for it. I mean, how many of you in here today, if I had time to do a survey, I would. You were just going about your life as normal. And then someone told you about Jesus and you came to faith in him. I mean, if that's the way you found Christ, if that's the way you experienced salvation, just raise your hand. You weren't really looking. Somebody just told you and you went, "Wow, okay, there's two of you in here." Now, how many of you are telling the truth? You weren't really looking for Christ. I've seen it happen many, many times. But then there's some of us, a lot of us, that were searching. I mean, how many of you were searching for something different in your life, something real in your life, something to hold on to? I was. I mean, I've been involved in church, but I just didn't have that fulfillment. I didn't have that peace. I didn't have that joy. I was searching for it. And then someone sat down and truly explained to me what it meant to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And then that's when I entered into that joy, into His peace, into His presence. So we see that different people come to Christ in different ways. The Lord deals with all people as individuals because this is an individual decision that you make. And then we see also a principle from these two parables is that saving faith has a high cost. In both of these parables, the prize is purchased. Now, I want to be really, really clear on this. So you don't leave thinking I taught something different. Jesus is not teaching that eternal life is something that you can purchase. Okay? You cannot purchase eternal life. You cannot purchase your way into the kingdom. You cannot be good enough to be allowed into God's kingdom. The Lord Jesus paid salvation's full price. He paid a price that you and I could not pay. When He died on the cross, He was the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb without blemish. He had no sin. And that is why He could pay sin's penalty for you and for me. He took it on Himself. And so salvation has a high, high cost that none of us in this room could pay. Only Jesus could pay that, and He paid the full price. He made atonement for the sins of those who would choose to follow Him. Eternal life is free to the repentant sinner. It's a gift that is received by faith alone. It cannot be as a reward or earned. It cannot be purchased by works of any kind. Genuine faith is not some mere idea or selective following of the teachings of Jesus. Genuine faith means letting go of everything else and giving up all trust that anything else or anyone else can gain you merit with God. So as we see in these parables where it cost these men everything they had to get this, it cost Jesus everything He had, and it cost us everything that we have in response to that. We give up following our own lives, our trusting in ourselves, trusting in our riches, trusting in other people. We give up all of that to follow Jesus and trust Him. We give our lives to follow Him and trust Him because He paid the price for our salvation. Genuine faith means letting go of everything. Genuine faith is a total surrender to the person and the work of Jesus Christ. If you're think that your salvation can come from anywhere other than Jesus, I'm asking you today to rethink your thoughts on that. to listen to what the Scripture teaches. That Jesus paid the price that we couldn't pay. And as we follow Him, He helps us to see that, to understand that. He makes us into the disciple that He would have us to be. And from this parable today, these two parables, we see that there was a great, great price. We see that it was for an individual decision has to be made to receive this thing of great value, which is entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Let me make it simple. Saving faith is an exchange for all that you are, for all that Jesus is. I don't know how to make it any clearer. So many times when I'm up here preaching, I feel like maybe I confuse things. But I just want you to understand, more than anything, the value of the kingdom of God. That Jesus paid the price for you to be able to have entrance into the kingdom of God. And the only thing you can do is receive it and submit yourself and everything that you are, everything that you have, to Him. That is how you have entrance into the kingdom. This thing of great, great value. Saving faith. Saving faith is when you unconditionally follow Jesus. It's not Jesus and something else. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. It's when you put your eyes on Him and you focus on Him and you trust Him for everything that you have, everything that you are. You exchange your life and everything you are for everything that He is. So today I want to ask you to examine thoughtfully who Jesus is. I want you to examine the eternal value of following Him. Are you willing to truly be His follower by letting go of everything that you have and trusting Him? Let's pray about this. Father, as we look at these parables, we see the great value of the kingdom. And Father, through the Scripture, we know that the kingdom can only be obtained through saving faith in Jesus Christ. My prayer today for each person in this room is that first and foremost, they have experienced that saving faith. And Father, if they have not experienced that today, that today would be the day that they would fully trust You and that they would turn their eyes upon You. Father, for those of us in this room that have experienced saving faith, but maybe there's something we've been holding back, I pray that today we would surrender all of ourselves to You. That, Father, we would get out of the boat and have faith to keep our eyes on You and to trust You and allow You to make us into who You would have us to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.